98.3 FM WCQM, Park Falls, a Civic Media station. This is 98Q Country.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Two attempts by Gaza war protesters to occupy buildings did not end successfully at the University of Pennsylvania last night. ABC's Brianna Smith.
Philadelphia police officers swarmed the campus to take the pro-Palestinian protesters into custody. And during some moments, officers scuffle with some of the protesters, police arresting the demonstrators.
At the University of Chicago, Gaza war protesters got into the politics building, confronted former Democratic Senator Heidi Heitkamp in her office.
I think it was three students came in, two initially and then three eventually, into my office, masked, you know, basically saying I needed to leave. I'm like, well, no, I don't.
She didn't. Trucks carrying badly needed aid for Gaza are rolling across a new shoreline pier built by the U.S. military. Utility crews work to restore power in the Houston area after violent storms, where it's expected to hit 90 degrees today. This is ABC News. On this day in 1980, Washington State's Mount St. Helens volcano exploded. 57 people killed or missing. Police in Surprise, Arizona say it was a domestic fight that led to a six-month-old baby being shot yesterday. A woman and her child were held against their will by the child's father, says Surprise PD spokesman Rick Hernandez.
The woman was able to free herself from the residence. She actually contacted a construction crew here nearby to use their phone to call us.
Baby's expected to survive. Cops say they're looking for the father. Another unwelcome but less serious surprise at Minnesota's annual Lincoln-Reagan dinner last night, as the headliner, former President Trump, took the stage.
How about that? Before I get up, the teleprompter fell down. That's great. Great going, fellas, back there. Then they want to know why I didn't pay the bill. You know, I get a lot of heat.
They fixed it. Guests paid at least $500 each to be in St. Paul for the Republican fundraiser. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Guaranteed income programs give no strings attached cash payments to low-income households. They can be controversial, but research shows they work. Mike Mohn has more.
The city of Madison gained attention for a program that ran from 2022 to 2023, where eligible households received $500 in monthly payments. Elsewhere in the U.S., the nonprofit Up Together has helped cities facilitate payments that come with no strings attached. The group's Rachel Barnhart says last year they helped 26,000 families access $18 million in unrestricted cash. Based on their outreach, all of it was spent on basic necessities.
Like housing, food, utilities, transportation, childcare.
She says respondents note the assistance has improved their mental well-being while allowing some to enroll their kids in after-school activities. There has been pushback, with skeptics arguing these programs discourage people from working. Even though Madison's effort was privately funded, Republican lawmakers in Wisconsin sought to prohibit taxpayer funding of these initiatives. The bill was vetoed. Barnhart says a key example from Texas shows how important the payments are during an escalating housing crisis.
What the Urban Institute found in Austin was a majority of the cash payments was spent on housing, and we saw an increase in housing stability.
She suggests a growing patchwork of these payments would serve as a shield against evictions as tenants struggle with skyrocketing rents. There are long-standing forms of cash assistance, but those come with more requirements, and Barnhart argues there's an uneven approach among states to distribute the aid to recipients. This is Mike Mohn for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Here's another community reminder from Civic Media.
Saturday, May 25th from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the St. Therese Church parking lot and dining hall in Phillips, there will be a garage sale and a bronze sale. The garage sale is Make an Offer. Again, this is Saturday, May 25th from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the St. Therese Church parking lot and dining hall off of Highway 13 in Phillips.
Leaning into local radio, 98Q Country.
Game 2 of the Brewers and Astros coming up. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The two teams playing at Minute Maid Stadium in Houston, where over 1 million people are without power, millions of dollars of damage after a 100-mile-per-hour windstorm hit the city Thursday night. The Brewers losing last night's game 5-4. They were ahead in the fifth when Freddie Peralta gave up a 3-run homer to Jeremy Pena. So the Astros have now won 6 in a row, 4 games out of first, as they try and climb to the top of their division and at the same time get some rest for some of their starters, Astros manager Joe Espada.
It's a long stretch of game. We're in the middle of 16 games in a row. We have Thursday off, then we're going to another 13, so I try to map out some days off for some of these guys. I've talked to them ahead of schedule, but it's not easy, especially when we're playing well, but it's important for us to have these players healthy for the long haul to get to where we want to get to.
NFL former Packers tight end Robert Tonyan has signed with the Minnesota Vikings. Tonyan spent the last year with the Chicago Bears. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, showers and thunderstorms, otherwise partly sunny and breezy with a high near 80. Tonight, a few showers with a low around 47. For Sunday, mostly cloudy, a high near 75. Showers and thunderstorms are likely Sunday night into Monday. Low Sunday night, 52. The high Monday, around 70.
Right now, it's 58.
Broadcasting on the Sporting Journal Radio Network, wherever you get your podcasts or watch on YouTube.
Well, we're here at the 2024 Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic,
presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
And our guest now is Jeremy Smith.
I fish, I hunt, and always will.
It's just a lookout for your everyday hunter, angler, and trapper that's out there.
A Fish on Forever production. This is Sporting Journal Radio.
Welcome to the show. I'm Brett Amundson, along with Dan Amundson over there. And ladies and gentlemen, who's that over in the corner over there?
Mystery man.
David Eckhart back on the show. Here I am.
What's up, David? David.
Whoa. How's planning been?
Good. Got the corn done. We're geared up to get ready to start doing beans.
Nice. All right. You had a little bit of weather there. Then the rain came back a little bit. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, just waiting for mud holes to dry up.
Yeah. How wet's it been in the fields?
There's a lot of guys going, but we had a few wet fields, so we're waiting for this rain today to pass and get started. Hopefully we don't get too much. And
well, it just means you can go fishing now.
That's right. I got the bow in tow.
So we're going to talk fishing this week on the show. Pat Kelmerton's going to join us. He's going to talk about turkey hunting. He's going to talk about fishing. He's going to talk about what his favorite fish to eat is. We'll find that out coming up a little bit later in the show. Also, Joe Henry is going to join us. We're going to talk about Lake of the Woods and the sturgeon season dates, where we're at with that, and how the opener was for walleyes. We'll also find out how Dan did on opener. Dan, you did a lot of fishing, maybe had a boat issue, although pretty minor compared to issues in the past. So we'll find out all about that coming up this week on the show, plus a lot of other stuff. But first, Dan, who are this week's sponsors?
Invergrove Toyota, the official truck sponsor of Fish Hunt Forever, is Invergrove Toyota. When you're looking for a new pickup, head to Invergrove Heights in Minnesota. Lake of the Woods Tourism. Lake of the Woods is the walleye capital. Plan a trip for this open water season at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. OnX Hunt, landowner information, public land access, and much, much more. Know where you stand with OnX. Tazen Lake Lodge, catch world record lake trout and giant pike at Saskatchewan's Tazen Lake. Learn more at tazenlake.com. Prairie Sportsman, the new season has wrapped up, but you can watch episodes anytime at the Prairie Sportsman YouTube channel, or there might be some still airing depending where you live. Haybale Heights Campground and Resort, fish Devil's Lake this summer. Learn more at haybaleheights.com.
It's almost like you gotta get some cardio work in before you do those.
What are you saying? I'm fat?
Well, you're a little out of breath.
But you knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, I don't think I'm out of breath.
Nice job. Speaking of Prairie Sportsman, you can watch that on a number of different PBS stations around the region. If you want to, you can watch it on the YouTube channel, of course. But if you're in the Twin Cities, TPT Life is the channel this weekend, 3:30 p.m. on Saturday. You can watch the Eau Claire Outdoors and the Weed Terminator on Prairie Sportsman. Just check your guide for the listings.
They still mail that out. The TV guide, does that come in the Sunday mail?
I know Pioneer PBS puts out like a newspaper version, basically, but I don't know if there's still a TV guide.
I don't know. I bet they still do.
Blast from the past.
I feel like it's all online, though.
There's probably a couple generations above us that still rely on it.
Yeah, probably. David and I fished on opener locally here. It wasn't bad.
Yeah, not bad.
We caught some fish.
Caught a lot of sheephead. I think I had one walleye that I caught.
It was slower than we thought it was going to be, but we caught some fish. Dan, you went up north and fished a bunch of different lakes up there. How'd that go?
Hit a couple. It was fun. Learned a ton. Dealt with some of the finickiest opening day walleyes I've ever dealt with. And it's actually cool, right? Because this technology we have is so much fun. The live scope is so much fun. And, you know, in past years, you might see fish on 2D and you'd mark them and you'd fish them. And, man, they just don't want to eat today. And the last few years, I've kind of been under the notion, like, yeah, if I find a fish, you can usually throw something at it to make them bite, whether it's dangling live bait in their face or aggressively throwing a jigging wrap in their face. Eventually, you feel like you can get them to bite. And I learned this week that's simply not the case. I've never had so many walleyes say no to a spot tail shiner.
But I thought you had a live scope.
I did.
I thought it means it's automatic.
Yeah, right. That's just an automatic limit. I went to Winnie on Monday or something. I've never thrown baits, and I was using all artificial that day. I wish I would have had live bait. I've never thrown so many baits in front of walleyes, in front of so many walleyes, and got zero bites, zero. So I couldn't ever imagine going to Winnie and blanking, and I did. I don't know. I marked hundreds upon hundreds of walleyes, watched a swim bait or a jigging wrap or a drop shot with a plastic worm or basically anything you can imagine that I have in my boat to catch a walleye. I tried trolling. Take that in for a second. Wow. I actually trolled.
Good for you.
Yeah. No, it wasn't. It sucked. I did it for about 10 minutes. Either way. But but my point is, like, I went through fish and I just couldn't get them to eat. Couldn't get them to bite. Then we had a couple different theories talking to some other folks around the area. One is that, you know, in my head, right, ice out was early, you know, call it 2 weeks early or whatever. So you would think we might be 2 weeks further along in the fishing season. And I don't think that's the case, because I think our ice out was, it was early just because there wasn't a whole lot of ice to melt, not necessarily because it's been like really, really warm. So, you know, water temps were low to high 50s, depending on where you were, time of day on the surface. But I'm guessing down 10 foot, it was a lot colder. And so these fish weren't super active. And maybe they're just not as far along as they are. But yet there's still tons of bait up shallow for them to eat. So some people are saying their fish were just stuffed full of bait, so they're not super hungry or something. But it was really interesting. I bought live bait finally, which really was painful, but finally got some fish to go on leeches, drop shot on the leech. That'll be fun. We'll have a video about that coming up. Saturday, caught him on a Ned rig. So that was really cool. That was the only thing we could get him to go on was a Ned rig. Hmm. We didn't have bait Saturday. And then, yeah, caught a couple on some fluke baits, and Monday somehow struck out. It just blew my mind. But, you know, with the live scope, yeah, it helped me find fish. It didn't necessarily help me catch them, kind of, because I got to watch their fish behavior, or watch the behavior, and now I get to kind of learn what was going on down there, why they weren't biting. It was kind of interesting. It was fun to learn. I learned a ton this weekend. It was a lot of fun.
And one of the fish that we caught, you were talking about being stuffed full of minnows and stuff, their stomachs. I think it was about an 18-inch walleye in my boat. The one guy caught it, and it just inhaled the jig. Like, oh, they're hungry. And when we cleaned that fish, it had like a 6 to 7 inch bullhead in its stomach.
Oh, jeez. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's like, and it was still hungry? Like, it was, I couldn't believe it ate that jig. Yeah, after eating that bullhead.
It's funny. Like, we just still don't know exactly why and when a fish eats what it does. Like I said, dangling a spot tail shiner in front of a group of five walleyes on a drop shot in May, how does that not get eaten 100% of the time? I don't get it. But they wouldn't. I caught one perch on a spot tail this week. Everything else on live bait was either a leech or a Ned rig or white minnow style bait. So, kind of blew my mind. And I did get some bites on a black plastic. I ran out of leeches, and so I put a black eye candy jig crawler and a black minnow on it. I couldn't get any hookups, but I got a couple bites on the black. So I guess they want leeches right now. Kind of interesting.
Is one of the things you learned to remember to put the plug in your boat?
I had a good reminder of that. Yeah, I had to wait.
I don't think that's boat trouble. I think that's memory trouble.
Yeah, I just, you know... I don't have a great excuse for that, but I do kind of have one. I don't remember. So normally go to the back of the boat, take the two straps off, take the transom saver off, and then I have two plugs I got to put in because I cracked an intake line once, and instead of fixing it, I just plugged the hole instead. So I normally plug both those holes, and I don't remember why I went back there, took the straps off, took the transom saver off, and didn't put the plugs in. But for whatever reason, I was like, oh, I'll just come back and do this later. I've never not I've never forgotten to put the plug in.
You know why? Because somebody reminds him every time he backs the boat in. He gets mad at me every time I remind him.
You know how many times I've gone fishing by myself? It's a lot more than I've fished with you, and I've never forgotten to put the plug in. So anyways, so while I was doing this, I was getting ready to launch, and there was nobody else launching. The parking lot was kind of full. It was windy on Monday, so the parking lot was still kind of full, but there was one trailer spot left in the actual parking lot for you to get on the road, and then this one car comes in, and instead of prepping their boat kind of, you know, in line like you normally do, they pulled right into that parking spot and got out, walked their dog, prepped their boat real slow there. Like, it's kind of a brilliant move, but it's also kind of a not really smart, you know, it's kind of a not a nice move to take the last parking spot. And I was there, so that kind of miffed me. So whatever,
you're a little flustered from that.
I was a little flustered from that. So whatever, backed the boat in. And so then I had to go park on the road. And that landing, it was the landing in Bina. It's not a great landing by yourself because it's a double ramp, one dock. So if you're going to try to dock your boat while you go park, you kind of take up a spot to launch. So I was trying to rush and do that. Didn't get a good part. And there's not a good spot to beach your boat. It's a rocky shoreline. So there's not a great spot to just run it up on shore. So I kind of was trying to rush. I didn't tie my boat to the dock the greatest. And I knew it might blow in. It was kind of windy. Might blow into the concrete. So I rushed. I go park. Did a terrible park job. I'm like, I just got to get back and fix my boat. And so I did. I retied the boat. Nobody's still at the landing except these guys. And so I went back and parked my truck better. And then I come back. I'm like, all right, let's go fish. Hop in, and I sit down at the driver's seat about to back away, and I have water on my feet. Ran back, got the truck, pulled the boat out, and got her, was draining her out. And then I will say, these people launched their boat and they parked in a better way, so that one last parking spot, there was still room for one more truck to sneak in. So I was still able to park there. So I guess that's the plus side of having to wait for that. But remember to put your plugs in.
There you go.
And then if you do fill your boat, careful when you pull it out so you don't bend your trailer with all that weight.
Oh, yeah. Well, it just ended up on the trailer and I pulled it out. Watch their, gave the boat a bath, I guess.
Well, I have some news about new Toyota trucks, by the way. I stopped into Invergrove Toyota and took a look at this truck. And I filmed it to play this for you so you could see this truck. And then they went and sold it. But they got another one coming out that's going to be just like this one right here.
All right, I got to show you this pickup right here. It comes with a lift kit.
Where do I sign?
He's going to buy it right now. The only difference, I think, with this truck than my truck is this one's got the sunroof. Otherwise, it's pretty similar. Giant screen, different drive modes, trailer brakes. You can actually program the truck to back up to all your trailers. Heated and cooled seats, basically just about anything that you want. This thing has got a factory lift on it. It's got a tonneau cover on the back, celestial silver, so really neat color, and pretty much all the options that you'd ever want in it. Check it out at Invergrove Toyota. I'll put a link.
Yeah, we'll put a link down here for the Tundras that they have there, even though they sold that one. 3.99% on 60 months at Invergrove Toyota right now. That's a great interest rate, plus $1,000 customer cash. And with the Fish Hunt Forever deal through us, you'll get $500 off if you're trading in your used vehicle. So the link will be down below or at sportingjournalradio.com if you want to check out more. And right now, real quick, we got a video for you to watch.
Oh, where'd those go? I need that hard drive.
All right. Tom Boley put out a new video about slip bobbering for walleyes. And Kaylin has a new slip bobber kit that you can buy for sharp shooting walleyes. Check it out on YouTube. And we had a reel to watch too, but we're running. Oh, there it is right there. Check it out. Tom did a great job on that video right there. We'll put a link to that down below too. Otherwise, we got to take a break. We got Joe Henry coming up and also Pat Kalmerton. And don't forget, Tazen Lake Lodge is opening up for Trophy Lake Trout, Northern Pike in Northwest Saskatchewan. TazenLake.com has all the info. June 12th is when the season opens. We'll be up there June 29th through July 13th filming another episode of another season of Tazen TV. So if you want to come up during that time, maybe be on the show. We might still have some openings for that. So go to TazenLake.com for more info.
852 million acres of public land, 147 million private properties,
all in the palm of your hand. The number one hunting GPS app just got better. With hundreds of custom map layers, 3D and topographic maps, you can easily scout on the road or at home before you go. And now you can get important weather details, CWD detection, and even know what crops have been planted where. Get the most trusted hunting GPS app ever made. OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
This is Sporting Journal Radio,
presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
Well, the sturgeon season up on the Rainy River is closed now for a short time. And to talk about how it went and when we can look forward to it opening back up, and even, of course, talk about walleyes at Lake of the Woods right now, Joe Henry joins us from Lake of the Woods Tourism. Joe, how's it going?
Good, what, Amundsen?
Yeah. I was hoping that nobody would catch that.
Could just I'll tell you. Right by. If you're a sturgeon angler and you fished the Rainy River this year, you probably got some sore arms and sore shoulders because fishing was really good. I mean, there was a lot of sturgeon caught and a lot of big sturgeon caught this year. And, you know, unfortunately, the season ended, through May 15th is what it is. But you know what? It starts up again on July 1st. And, hey, Brett, when it starts up on July 1st again, it's a keep season for the whole summer all the way into the next, next spring. So, you know what? Good times, good population of sturgeon, and for most anglers, they did well.
Yeah, we just saw a picture. It was one of Kevin's clients, Dan, that you saw?
I think so. They were both in the picture. I didn't see a name or anything. It was in one of the fishing groups, and they had doubled up. They said they caught 122 inches of sturgeon at one time. They doubled up in 5 feet of water.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty wicked. I can try to find that poster.
Can you imagine the hauling that was going on in the Rainy River?
Yeah, right. Could you imagine trying to net 261-inch sturgeon at the same time or trying to land?
I bet that warship was just humming.
So 261-inch sturgeon at the same time in 5 feet of water. I bet that was pandemonium.
Whoa. I mean, talk about a circus. Well, you know what? It's cool because you see some of the size of the fish that have been caught. And, you know, some are those, high 60 inchers with huge girths, you know. And then you get some that are in the low 70s right now. And I mean, just you get a little bit of everything. And then it's even cool seeing those little ones. You know, for listeners, you get a little sturgeon. And they got those sharp, yeah, on both sides of their body and along the top, they got these kind of sharp bones called scutes, S-C-U-T-E-S, scutes. And what I'll tell you, they're real sharp. You almost got to be careful grabbing them. When they're small, you could cut yourself. Now, as those sturgeon get bigger, those scutes start to dull out. But now, because of their massive size and just their hard armor, they're protecting from natural predators. And the whole fish is just a very fascinating fish.
Yeah, those scutes are meant to protect them when they're small. Could you imagine trying to eat, being a bigger predator fish and try to eat one of those things and be like, biting down on a
glass.
Yeah. A broken bottle or something. We'll plan on going back up there when the season opens back up. Maybe we'll keep one, Dan, and cook it up. We'll make a video about it. We'll probably film a Prairie Sportsman episode up there with Kevin at Royal Dutchman and do some sturgeon fishing, and maybe we'll even cook one up. That sounds like a good time to make. A
little catch, clean, cook video. Yeah. Love it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, and we'll probably have to walleye fish while we're up there too, Joe.
It's kind of sacrilegious if you don't.
Yeah, it'll probably happen. I'm sure. I'm surprised, Dan. You were up north for a few days. I'm surprised you didn't get up there to the Big Lake.
I had to do this radio show.
Oh yeah.
Whoops. Yeah. There's still a thing called work, I guess.
Yeah, it happens.
You call this work?
This part, yeah. I'm gonna deal with these buffoons.
I could mustache.
Be. Think get about this. Think about this. I could be on the water, on Lake of the Woods, catching walleyes. I could probably be in the resort by now, having breakfast or lunch with a limit. And said I got to talk to these buffoons.
Well, I'll tell you this much. You know, when you kind of nice to lead in because we just had the fishing opener weekend, and limits were very prevalent. You know, I mean, you see videos of a lot of nice fish being released because people had all their fish, you know. But, you know, jigging a minnow, as a rule, anywhere from 12 to 22 feet of water. I mean, anywhere in between. They were getting them, some in the river, some in Four Mile Bay, Lighthouse Gap, Morris Point Gap, adjacent Pine Island, and across that whole south shore. And then, of course, up at the northwest angle, I spoke to some folks up there. And, you know, up there, they're getting them a little bit deeper. I think they were getting them more around that 15 to 25 feet as a rule. Off of some points, those fish up at the angle, you know, so much structure up there, they'll start gravitating to neck down areas where there's some current and different things, you know, like Flag Island Flats and just other areas that are kind of prevalent walleye areas. But I think that's happening. Now, I was also told that the water temperature hit, you know, 50 degrees up there, which is good. And, you know, those walleyes, none of the walleyes were milking or anything. So I think, you know, the thought is that they spawned out up there already. So good. Things are progressing. Fish are biting. A lot of fish around. A lot of fish to be had. You know, and of course, Lake of the Woods, a lot of big fish being cut. I say big fish, big walleye is being cut this past weekend as well.
So how long do you think some of those fish will stay in the river after the spawn? I mean, obviously some stay in there year round, don't they?
They do. And that's the thing that nobody knows for sure. But the thought process is that some of the fish, once they spawn, will slide back into the lake and they'll filter back into the lake. And then some of them will stay around because the river has everything you need. I mean, I always say if the Rainy River was all we had for a fishery, we'd still have a world-class fishery. You know, you got bait, you got stained water, you got lots of structure, you got, you know, moving water, which is nice, you know, for some of those fish. It just, you really have everything. You know, the other thing about the Rainy River is you got variety. I mean, you know, if it's ever a blow day, or if you ever just want to mix it up one day, and there's 42 miles of navigable Rainy River from Wheeler's Point, you know, it's 12 miles to Bedette and about another 30 to Birchdale where some rapids begin. They're kind of hard to navigate if you don't know what you're doing. But, you know, so we say 42 miles of navigable Rainy River, but, you know, just going on a milk run, going spot to spot to spot that looks kind of fishy, whether it's a point, it's a current break, it's a bay, it's a flat. I mean, it's an area with some rock in it. I mean, all those areas will hold fish, even docks. It's easy. You know, some people will drop in at Wheeler's Point. Some will take it into Bedette or go east of Bedette like they do when they're spring fishing out to Franz Jevny that's way up above the rapids. But then you got, you know, Birchdale, then you got your, what's the next one down, guys?
Frontier.
Yeah, Frontier. Vitus.
Is it Vitus or Vitus?
Vitus or Vitus.
And that Vitus, that's right where the Rapid River is, you know, and so that's a good one too. And then there's actually two boat accesses in Bedette. You got your Timbermill Park, which is right on the main river. But then you got your Peace Park, which is on International Drive that's just before you hit Canada Customs, you know, in Bedette there. It's Bedette a nice Bay. Little boat ramp as well.
Yeah. Well, lots of options and lots of fish. Lots of fish. And Dan, I still say we try to make it up to the angle this summer, Dan.
Sure. Let's go.
Just trying to get up there.
When do you want to go? I could be there right now. I'm doing this radio show.
We got to go, Joe. We got to go.
Can't you do a radio show just really from anywhere?
Well, yeah, I can't. Well, Brett seems to be able to, but someone's got to sit here and run the controls, apparently.
We just need good internet.
I don't know if I can trust anyone else. David, you got to learn how to do this. Yeah. So I can take that. You haven't worked for a month and a half. You get over here. I'm going to go fish. Yeah.
All right, Jeez. Joe. Well, if people want to go
I got a kick. Oh, you guys, you two are kind of the talking heads, as they'd say. And then you got David kind of running the show, just sitting back, making sure things are going okay.
Yeah, supervisor.
Unlike me. I mean, you got to figure it out.
Yeah, see,
keep him in line.
He should be over here pressing buttons and turning knobs, and I can sit over there and talk and sip on a can.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's a farmer, so he did all his work for the year last week, and now he just sits back and supervises.
Yep.
Grain farmer.
Well, you know what? I tell you what, I know firsthand, you know, because of his background in farming, he's the kind of guy I want on a fishing trip, because if anything breaks or goes wrong.
Oh, that's true.
Do you know how to work on Optimaxes?
I could figure it out.
I don't know if you can. These are just stupid motors.
Yeah, YouTube.
So do I, and I can't figure it out. I've read every forum that's ever been made on a 2005 Optimax.
Well, it seems to be running now, at least, right?
For now. I don't want to buy it.
Well, there's a lot of money's been spent on it. It's probably the time to buy it.
All the work's been done.
All right. Joe, people want to get up there, whether they want to fish the Rainy or if they want to try to get up to the angle or fish the South Shore. Or, you know what we should do, Dan? We should do this.
Okay, Dan.
Okay. it in. We should make a video of fishing the Rainy, fishing the South Shore, and then going up the angle and fit and like hit all three spots on one trip.
All right. I could be working on that right now, but I'm doing this radio show.
Well, we'll plan it.
All right.
We'll work on that. Joe, you're invited. David, you can come if you're not farm. Oh, you're done farming, so you can come.
Well, it'll probably be harvest next.
Yeah. That's right. All right, Joe,
we're going to harvest. Let's go harvest some walleyes up north.
There you go. Where should people find more info if they want to make a trip like that for themselves?
Three things. Number one, you keep mustache in line this week. Okay, that's Danny. Number two, our Lake of the Woods Facebook page has a lot of very current information. And finally, the best source of info is our website, and that is lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
If you want to catch a big walleye, go where the big walleyes are. Lake of the Woods is the walleye capital of the world, with a variety of resorts and lodging facilities offering full-service fishing. Lake of the Woods is also home to sturgeon, sauger, perch, trophy pike, muskie, smallmouth bass, burbot, and more. Plan your trip to Lake of the Woods today. Go to lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
This is Dave from Kurtz Island Sports Shop with your weekly fishing report from Kurtz Island Sports Shop in Minocqua. Crappie is good, very good. Good reports from crappie anglers finding pre-spawning. Many very pre-spawned crappies in 7 to 10 feet of weeds and shallower at times. Kalen's crappie crubs, Charlie B's, Garland itty bitties, and small tube jigs as well as small minnows on a slip float. Largemouth bass, good, very good. Most active in shallows with dark bottoms on warming afternoons. Wacky worms, lighter weighted net rigs, 4-inch plastic worms producing actions with nice fish of 18 to 20 inches reported. Bluegill good. With no reports last week, readers let me know how they did in fact find gills, and it's only getting better. Mostly in 5 to 8 feet using leaf worms, mini mites, tip with waxies, or the tiniest of tube jigs. Northern pike good. As weeds slowly green and grow, anglers finding more opportunities in 6 to 10 feet. Spinners, number 3 and number 4 MEPs, spinner baits, swim baits, and chub and jig combos. Good action, nice sizes of 24 to 30 inch fish being reported. Smallmouth bass good. Not as many targeting, still only catch and release, but some very nice smallies being caught by anglers using tube jigs, net rigs, jigging wraps, shiver minnows, along breaks outside of spawning areas. Walleye, it's fair to good. Hull in the last week, it seemed. Mornings were toughest, the action improving in the afternoons, water temps playing a big role, but that looks to level off. Green weeds, jigs, and bait at times. Dace, fatheads, smaller chubs, and even leeches working well. Anglers casting stick baits, Rapalas, Thundersticks, and Rattling Rogues also picked up nice catches towards dusk in shallower weeds 7 feet or less.
Get hooked on adventure at Kurtz Island Sports Shop. Reel in the big ones with their Primo fishing gear. From rods that lure envy to bait that fish can't resist. Need a fish whisperer? Kurtz Pros offer guide services to turn your fishing tales into legends. Swing by 824 Highway 51 North in Minocqua and gear up for epic fishing fun. Kurtz Island Sports Shop, where fishing dreams and big laughs are always in stock.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, showers and thunderstorms, otherwise partly sunny and breezy with a high near 80. Tonight, a few showers with a low around 47. For Sunday, mostly cloudy, a high near 75. Showers and thunderstorms are likely Sunday night into Monday. Low Sunday night, 52. The high Monday, around 70.
Right now, it's 58.
This is Sporting Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
Well, turkey season is, we're starting to get onto the back end of turkey season here, but there's still lots of time left. I think the last couple of years, the turkeys I've shot have been in the last part of the season. I'm anxiously waiting for my gun tag to open back up here in Minnesota. And we're going to talk a little bit about turkeys, also fishing on Lake Michigan, fishing on Devil's Lake, and some other stuff too. You never really know what is going to get brought up when you bring this guy on. Pat Calmerton joins us right now. Pat, how you doing?
I'm doing very well. How are you? Well, maybe I'm not doing as well as I'd like to be. I missed a bird this morning talking about turkey hunting, but I'm doing all right. I'm doing pretty good.
I mean, it happens.
I know.
It's
you know, and the worst part is it was I should have missed.
Well, what happened? Let's hear the story.
It happens.
It does happen.
Well, here's the story. We're in the fifth season here in Wisconsin, so it's broke out by five seasons. So you go from a Wednesday to a Tuesday, and you have a week to harvest your bird. All right. So, you know, of course, I go out and I put all the blinds out. And I have all the landowners. I do my due diligence. I got my gun sighted, and I actually had, because of lottery system here in Wisconsin, is by December 10th, you have to put in for your lottery. And I pulled the second season, then the leftover tags came available the third season, come second weekend of March, or second Monday of March or whatnot, the leftover tags come available, so you can buy extra tags. So I had the second, the third. I knew I was going to be gone for the fourth. I was going to leave the rest of it up to, you know, what happened, what the day brings to us, you know, because usually we're in fishing season by now. So I went out and I did my due diligence. I harvested, you know, I sighted in all my guns. I figured out what choke patterns and what shot was working best for me. And I lopped off an old 870 20 gauge to make it into a youth gauge for my kids and the early stuff. I mean, I put in a lot of work this year, a lot of work. And the second season, I got lucky. I harvested my bird second season. Third season, I harvested my bird third season. Fourth season, I had a bunch of people from out of town. I had five guys from Arkansas, and I had a guy from Kenosha. And everybody harvested their birds fourth season. So I was down at POMA, which is Professional Outdoor Media Association. Didn't think I would get out. This morning, I woke up. The start of the fifth season, tags available. I was actually thinking about going fishing to find some crappies. You know, our water temperature is still not right where it needs to be, so they're going to be suspended. I wanted to find those. I couldn't really go down there because I had a bunch of phone calls today, so the lack of reception. As I was driving through, there's a couple of my targeted birds. And when I say targeted birds, I got three toms, and they are pretty impressive birds. They got ropes that hang. They got they're the boss. They're boss birds, you know. So I whipped around and got on Go Wild real quick and went to go buy my fifth season tag because I knew that there was tags available. And I did it right. I parked. I went down and around. I followed the cornfield down on the backside of the hill. And came up, and the alfalfa's already over knee high down here. They're actually doing the first harvest already. So I snuck into the blind where I have corn seeds starting to come up and everything else, and sat there for about 5 minutes. I got on, and I gave a couple of calls, looked to my left, and here he comes, half strut and one in tow. So the boss was in the front, came out in front of me. Looked at the decoy. I was messing around with my phone. You know, today's technology, you want to film everything. You want to get everything on film because I think it's a bragging right. You want to be that special somebody and be like, oh, look at this. How awesome. Well,
oh, you don't have to tell us about that.
Dang, those damn media guys.
We film everything.
Bunch of bums.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to brag to my buddies on how well this worked out, you know, and he comes up the hill and comes out right in front of me at 40 yards and starts just marching right on in. And I'm looking at my phone and I'm trying to get him square on the phone. I'm looking down the bead at one point, looking at the phone, looking here, and he came to about 25 and I pulled the trigger and he got up and flew away and I shot as he was flying away. And oh my God! I don't even have an excuse. I was thinking, well, maybe I could say my phone rang. No, my phone didn't ring. Maybe I could say that the phone glared. No, the phone didn't glare. There was nothing other than human error, and it was the ultimate preparation for the epic fail this morning. So,
cameraman's fault.
Yeah, blame the cameraman.
Yeah, exactly. So, but. You know, at that point, what did I do? I sat there, and I knew there's a lot of extra birds on that property. I know that there's multiple toms on that property. there's a bunch of jakes on that property, and I don't know. I'm still that guy where.
Uh-oh, I think we.
Trigger. There was no. He was in no hurry. He was still, you know, kind of coming in from three-quarter strut to half to quarter to still walking up to the bird, to the decoy. I mean, there's no reason that I pulled the trigger, and I missed. So at that point, I accepted defeat. I hung my head in sorrow. I walked into the woods to make sure that I didn't, made sure that I didn't hit it or lung it, and it flew a little bit and died. I walked over, did my landscape, and kicked my feet and walked around for quite a bit, and then I.
Well, I don't think you can be too upset about it if you already shot two birds this year, you know.
No,
I
mean, you can be upset about it
missing your third one, and then having a bunch of people over that. That shoot their birds. I wish we had that opportunity out here.
And we'd have no turkeys left.
Yeah, that'd be right. A problem. Yeah. He obviously has a bigger population. And we lost him there for a second. We'll see if we can get Pat back.
I know that feeling of missing a turkey. I think it's worse than losing a fish. I think it's worse than missing a deer. I think it's like that might be the worst miss in the fishing and hunting world.
But it happens. If it's a clean miss, you know, and you're not wounding a bird and leaving a wounded bird out there, then, you know, it's part of the gig.
Remember when I missed that Jake last year? How much I freaked out?
Yeah. And you haven't even bought a tag this year.
Because I knew if I screwed up my one opportunity or let a Jake walk, I wasn't shooting a bird that season, and I didn't. I should have just quit right there.
I mean, so Pat, while you were gone, we were just talking about how you can't be that upset about missing that bird, because missing is part of the game, but you already shot two of them this year.
Well, I said, screw that. I don't care what you have to say. It still sucks. I'm still mad. Here. I'm done with this podcast. That's the first time we've ever had a guest rage quit.
That was like a mic drop moment. You see, he put on his sunglasses. See you later.
Outside.
Out of here.
I'm going fishing. He's probably going to go catch coho.
He's going to go try to kill that turkey, probably. It's like, that's it. I'm done.
He's done.
We're going to make this happen.
Well, now what do we talk about?
Well, why won't you buy a tag? You can still get a tag.
I've been too busy.
I also have not bought a tag yet.
Yeah, I've David turkey hunts more than I do. I've just been way too busy. I've had too much work to do, and now it's fishing season. So,
did you shoot a turkey last year, David?
Did we film the 410 episode last year?
I think that was two years ago. And so he missed a turkey and still went out and turkey hunted the next year, Dan.
Did you?
Well, yeah.
Did I hunt last year?
See?
I don't think I did.
When was the boat? When did you guys go bow hunting? Was that 2 years ago, too?
Yeah.
That might have been 3 years ago now.
Two or three.
All right, well, let's stop.
I missed a turkey then, too.
So, Pat, we were just saying, you can't be that upset about missing since you've already shot two this year.
I am upset. Here's the deal. I'm upset to the point where I hunted for a total of about an hour for the fifth season, this tag, and I'm going to learn from my mistakes, and I'm going to go fishing from now on.
See?
That's what Dan just said.
Yeah, well.
I'm done. I'm, you know, yes, you're right. It's greediness is what it is. I should I have gone? Yeah, I should have gone because of there. I knew they were there, and I missed. I missed, man. I missed.
I don't think you're mad about it at all.
He's not mad about it at all. Do you think he shot high or low, or what do you think happened?
Oh, I'll send you the video. I mean, it looked like there was pellets. I rewatched it a couple of times. It looks like there was pellets all the way around it. I don't know. I will from now on shoot TSS shot. From now on, I mean, I down at the Puma conference, I bought a new gun. So don't tell my wife this, but you know,
she's a big fan of the
Mossberg Silver Heritage.
Oh,
so
nice.
That's coming. I have a new scope coming on that. So that's my excuse. Maybe I was just like really thinking, man, if my new gun was here, I this would be a no-brainer, and I just missed it. But
blame it on the gun.
So what would you do differently? Well, I'm just trying to egg this on.
Well, I'd kill the bird. I don't have it.
Allegedly.
Here's the problem is I don't know what I did. I did nothing wrong. It was there. I don't know if my kid crawled on my gun and bent my barrel, but it was in the liquid case, so probably not. I don't know. I did nothing wrong.
All right, we got to take a quick break. We're going to switch the topic to fishing with Pat Calmerton when we come back.
Calm down.
Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
We're going to jump on with Pete from Wheelway in Fifield, and we are celebrating a 50th anniversary for Wheelway. Is that right?
Absolutely. To celebrate 50 years in business, we're giving specials all across the board. Home of the $39.95 oil change, $10 off alignments, $50 off a set of tires, many discounts. You should be receiving a mailer in the mail, so check your mailbox for many discounts.
Save big with 50 years of savings. And if they want to schedule their appointment down there for service work, Pete, they can give you a call, right?
Absolutely. Give us a call. Our phone number is 715-762-2467. The number again is 715-762-2467.
Very good. A couple miles south of Park Falls, right on Highway 13. Wheelway in Fifield.
Access to reliable and affordable energy is essential. Enbridge's Line 5 pipeline moves that energy, transporting raw product that's turned into transportation fuel and propane for thousands of homes, farms, and businesses here in Wisconsin. Propane keeps us warm, cooks our food, dries clothes, and powers farm and industrial equipment. Learn more at Enbridge.com/L5WIS.
Step into a timeless journey at Frazier's Mercantile, a gem nestled in Catawba, Wisconsin. Since its inception in 1911, this haven preserves history within its antique hardwood floors and steel ceilings. Unearth treasures as you explore aisles adorned with discounted groceries, a curated selection of liquor, and a nostalgic array of vintage penny candies. Embrace quality and affordability as you discover discounted brand name outdoor workwear, adding functionality to your adventures. Let Frazier's Mercantile in Catawba, Wisconsin, be your portal to the past, where exceptional finds await at every turn.
Boulder Junction is a one-of-a-kind place to experience great adventures, white deer sightings, camping, biking trails, fishing, quaint retail businesses, lodging, and unique up north dining. Explore Boulder Junction by visiting this fine business.
Camp Holiday Campground, a gem in the heart of the Northern Highland American Legion State Forest, where you'll find paved bike trails, lake sports, fishing, a clean swimming beach, camp lodge, new playground, the cleanest bathrooms, flush toilets, showers, and there's even a laundromat. Come for a weekend. Come for a week. Come with a tent, RV, or motorhome. Everyone is welcome. Camp Holiday Campground, a place in the big woods where you'll be amazed and go home saying, that was time well spent. See camp-holiday.com or call 715-385-2264 for daily rates. Camp Holiday Campground on Rudolph Lake Lane, Boulder Junction.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, showers and thunderstorms, otherwise partly sunny and breezy with a high near 80. Tonight, a few showers with a low around 47. For Sunday, mostly cloudy, a high near 75. Showers and thunderstorms are likely Sunday night into Monday. Low Sunday night, 52. The high Monday, around 70.
Right now, it's 58.
For a delicious meal anytime, whether you feel like breakfast, lunch, or dinner, stop into the Park Falls Sammy Restaurant on Highway 13 in Park Falls, Wisconsin, with a menu filled with too many delicious choices to mention, including Mexican dishes like chimichangas, burritos, quesadillas, fajitas, and tacos. Or stop in, sit at table 19 and try my favorite, the Triple BLT. Now serving raspberry and peach iced teas, plus iced poppies and caramel, mocha, and vanilla flavors. The Park Falls Salmon Restaurant has something on the menu to satisfy any appetite. Open 7 a.m. every day of the week, honoring veterans with a 10% discount.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
This is Morning Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
All right, we're talking with Pat Calmerton here, Sporting Journal Radio. Pat, I know you missed the turkey, but
just keep bringing it up. Right? You left again. He's like, screw that. I'm done with you guys. I don't want to talk about the turkey anymore.
That's hilarious. I was going to change the topic to fishing. Bring him back in here.
I'm more about
it. All right, we'll just talk fishing. And there you go. Moved inside now, maybe better service. Pat, you do a lot of stuff on Lake Michigan. Have you been out there yet this year? You got guys out there bringing clients out yet?
We do. Our boats are rolling. Myself, personally, I have not been out. The boats are splash, boats are rolling. Coho fishing is phenomenal. The brown trout fishing in April was okay, but the coho is within the last week. Matter of fact, right before I leave on Sunday here, I'm going to throw the kids in the car and head over to Sheboygan with my kids, and we're gonna fill the freezer with some coho. You know, they're awesome eating real pink meat. You know, probably if you were to ask me, it's the best tasting salmon there is. You know, a coho salmon, it's kind of a delicacy all over the place. And what happens is, as they migrate north, they start south, it's pretty good, and then as they move north, but this year fishing is really, really good. I'm talking, you know, 4 or 5 person limits, 6 person limits in a few hours. So it's a very fast action. Here we go.
Interesting. How big do those cohos get there?
You know, quite honestly, there's cohos that can get up to 10, 12 pounds in August and stuff. But this time of year, you're looking at 3, 4, 5 pound fish. You know, that's kind of your average.
Nice.
And honestly, what's really nice about it is you don't have to have a big boat. You can go out there in a 16-foot boat because they're real, real shallow. They're real close to the break walls right now. You can run anywhere from your triple out Dodgers and peanut flies all the way through to, you know, 10-inch paddles or meat rigs, and they'll eat anything. These things are so aggressive, and it's usually so fast action that doubles, triples, quads, you know, it's a lot of fun. If you've never been coho fishing, you're not going to get the real zingers like you do with your king salmon and, you know, your acrobatical, you know, cohos will jump and stuff like that, not quite like the steelhead out there, but they're fun and they're great eating.
Yeah.
So table fare, you can't beat it.
Dan, what was that? Was that a coho that you caught out at Niagara?
We caught a couple of coho. I think we only landed one or two, and it was painful to throw it back. It was a little guy, and we didn't really have a great way to transport meat. We weren't getting a bunch, so I didn't want to fly one coho salmon back to Minnesota. But it was still like, that's the best tasting fish there is, and now you're back swimming instead of going to my freezer. They're cool fish.
You're closer to home now. Just come on over. We'll fill your freezer.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Pack up the gear right now and head over, because the fishing right now, you're not going to beat it. You know, anybody and everybody, between the personal boats, the charter boats, I'm sure that they're even, where they're situated, I'm sure that they're even catching them off the break walls right now.
Do you think a glow would be mad if we skipped Alabama? We're supposed to be in Alabama this week, but I like salmon. I like eating salmon more than pork.
Well, we could split up, Dan. You go to Alabama, I'll go to Lake Michigan.
No. You just bought the AR for the Alabama trip.
I bought the AR for a lot of reasons, but I'm taking it on the turkeys. Yeah, yeah, taking it on the Alabama trip. Pat, I want to ask you how people can book a trip with you out there, and we'll do that here in just a second. But Dan, the reason I brought up the Niagara trip because I was trying to remember what fish it was that you caught that you saw come up and hit. You just started throwing back that maglip or whatever it was we were using.
That was a smallmouth? That was either a brown or a coho, and I don't know because I lost it right away.
Oh,
like it came up and hit it, and then it popped out. I think Frank said it was probably a coho. but we never landed that one. So it was either Coho or Little Brown.
That was wild how aggressive. So we were trolling these mag lips, and we were only in, what, 9-10 feet of water.
Well, and then we switched to just crankbaits. We just had some shallow running crankbaits. They were hitting those better than the mag lips, but...
That's right.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten. But we caught a pile of brown trout, and they do a lot of brown trout stocking out there. Is there a big brown stocking program on Michigan as well?
Yeah, they stock everything. You know, they slow down on a German brown trout, but the Shasta and stuff like that, you know, they do pretty well over there. Absolutely.
Amazing how big some of those fish get.
Yeah. No, we've won cold derby with a brown trout that was almost 30 pounds a couple of years ago. And, you know, these browns get that great big hook jaw, and they're just gorgeous fish. And we ice fish them down out of Milwaukee and the tributaries to Lake Michigan as well. So we do that all winter as long as we have safe ice. You know, early in the spring, those are the first fish that we can get back into the boat other than the walleyes on the river system. So you're in that skinny water. They have nowhere to go other than out. If you don't have downriggers, if you don't have wire, if you don't have, you know, the copper and all that other stuff, your brown trout, your cohos are the way to go out there, because you don't have to go deep. They're shallow. And majority of the time you can run, you know, like you were talking mag lips, and you can get into, you know, your reef runners and your thunder sticks and, you know, anything and everything. They're going to eat whatever you throw at. They're hungry. They haven't seen anything all summer or all winter.
I feel like you kind of got to figure it out. You got a pile of turkeys around. You got good fishing where you're at. You can go over to Lake Michigan, fill the freezer anytime you want to. And you go up to Devil's Lake. And fishing is okay on Devil's Lake. I mean, it's...
Let's be real with ourselves. Fishing is fantastic on Devil's Lake, and that's why us Wisconsin boys, we travel out there, and I'm excited about it, because this time of year, usually right around Memorial Day, it doesn't matter how you do it. Last year was swim baits with plastic on backside of them, you know, bass jigs. So we were casting bass jigs with Z-Man paddle tails and stuff like that on the back end, and we would go into the CPT or the Northland jigs with a leech under float, you know, and throwing that rocket bobber. You can either do it from shore or from boat. If it's too windy, you can catch giant fish from shore, being walleyes, white bass, pike. You never know what you're going to get. This week, quite honestly, this week coming up in history is probably my favorite time to be out there open water fishing. It's almost like going out ice fishing late March, early April, when all those big plump perch are starting to, you know, gather in the shallowers to spawn and stuff. But, you know, I am lucky enough to, you're right, I am lucky. I have every resource at my fingertips, you know, between all the fur, feather, scales, whatever you want to call it, and life is fun. Life is a lot of fun for me.
Well, that Devil's Lake, we finally got back up there this past winter and did some ice fishing up there, and we comboed, I guess. We caught walleyes too.
Yep.
And it was too short of a trip, mm-hmm. I guess. We could have easily spent a few more days up there.
Funny how that happens, isn't it? There's some trips that you go on there, you're like, I'm ready to go home. And then there's other trips that are like, I really don't want to go home.
Yeah. Well, we had to, I can't remember why we had to come home, but we even cut the trip short just a little bit because there was a blizzard coming. Mm-hmm. So like, we're just gonna hit the road and get out of here. But we brought home a pile of perch and walleyes, so we should do a summer trip up there this year too, Dan.
Okay, so we've booked a trip to the Rainy River, the South Shore, Lake of the Woods, and the Northwest Angle on this show.
Yep.
Lake Michigan.
Yep.
Right? Yep. And now Devil's Lake. So we've booked 5 trips so far on this trip.
No, you have a week and a half of bird hunting yet. I got plenty of birds running around.
Brett might.
I probably got another half a dozen blinds still set up that I got to go pick up. So what I can do is wait till you guys get here. You guys can each, all three of you, you have 2 blinds, go in, hunt them, and then just pick up everything and bring them in with you when you come.
Perfect.
How mad are you going to be if somebody misses, though? Are we just going to have, like,
as long
things
as
on
not
fire?
Me missing, I don't care. I kind of giggle at other people missing, but when I miss, man, does it just turk me, man. It sucks. How do you miss a bird that is, like, you know, it's probably 3 yards wide by...
Big.
It's so easy.
I don't understand it. It just... I don't think it's 9 feet. Okay, so it looked 9 feet wide. Maybe it's a foot wide. Or 1 yard wide, 3 feet wide. I don't know, but how the hell do you miss a bird standing there?
They're tough birds. And vitals are kind of small targets on them.